Podcast.
Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hello, Kiss Army. How are ya?
And with us this week is our friend, Mr. D-Rock.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
D-Rock's in the house.
D-Rock, how you been, man? It's been a long time since we've all talked together.
It's been a struggle, but, you know, I'm doing all right.
Well, that's good. That's good. Let's see. If you don't know what you're listening to, this is Podcast Rock City, and we are a Kiss podcast, all Kiss, all the time, except when we're not, and that happens every once in a while. But for the most part, we're talking Kiss. Anyway, let's see. The tour started this week, guys.
Yes, it did.
The 4th of July. The tour started. Now, if you listen to Jody and I on akaradio.com on Thursdays at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, your lunchtime Kiss show, we started talking about the set list. And the first set list that we talked about, it's okay. We weren't thrilled about it, right?
Right.
D-Rock, when you saw the set list the first time for the show, what'd you think?
I wasn't really too especially thrilled with it. I mean, to me, it just seems like the same, same old, same old. You know?
Right.
It's like, you know, they're doing everything that they do at all their other concerts, you know? I mean, which is to be expected, I guess. But, I mean, you'd think with having as many songs as they have, and especially with this being not like big venues, you know, that they try to spice it up a little bit and do some of the stuff that they normally don't play.
Sure.
Yeah, you would think.
I'm going to tell you, and I don't have it in front of me. I should have saved it, but it kind of came and went really fast. But somebody took and set up the set list, the average set list, you know, for like the last, I guess, three or four tours. Okay. So I guess from when Peter joined the band back, right? Then the next one was with Eric Singer and Tommy. And the next one after that was the same, you know. And then we got the Sonic Boom, and then we got Monster. And they took the average set list, right?
Okay.
And then they put Paul's quote. This was kind of a slap at Paul. Basically what it said was, you know, when we were with Peter and Ace, we were stuck playing the same songs because they couldn't learn anything else. And then basically they showed how hell from, you know, the last four tours have been nothing but pretty much the same thing.
Right. Yeah. They, supposedly the farewells, because Paul always talks about how like they were getting too predictable. You know what I mean? It's like, dude.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I listened to a Eric Singer interview with Chris Jericho. Have you guys ever heard that?
I haven't heard the Jericho with Eric one. But I will definitely
and
check it out.
One of the things that now we love Chris Jericho. Chris is a Kiss fan, and when he interviews, man, he really gets into it. You know, he asks good questions. I really enjoy listening to him do it. I'm a big fan of his. You know, in the wrestling arenas, and but one of the things that was really interesting to me was that Eric Singer talked about how him and Tommy were genuinely Kiss fans, okay? They were fans of the band before they got in the band. And they were talking about how Bruce, you know, really, he, you know, he wasn't a Kiss fan when he joined the band. And neither was Eric Carr or Vinnie Vincent or Mark St. John. You know, they said that, you know, of course they loved being in the band and they loved the band, but when they joined, they didn't have that back, you know, history, you know,
right,
loving the band.
Yeah.
So he said that him and Tommy are always talking about wanting to play deep cuts. And even him and Tommy will get together and learn parts, you know, learn songs and bring them up in rehearsals. And he goes, they won't sound perfectly right off the bat, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just something to get out there and go, man, you know. And he said that you know, basically the other guys are just worried that the, you know, the people who aren't huge, huge fans won't get it when they play certain songs, or a lot of the songs for that matter. And I don't know, man. I you know, personally, look, as long as you got Lick It Up, Heaven's on Fire, Tears Are Falling, Rock and Roll All Night.
That was me.
Yeah, you put those six songs into the set for the Tire Kickers, man. Everything else should be for us. I don't think Bruce Springsteen gets on stage and goes, "Oh, I really want to cater to the people that don't give a shit about me." 300 and you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The one thing that Paul and Gene got to remember is you know, they're too worried about, you know, people not recognizing the songs. But what they got to realize is you've got generation after generation of Kiss fans coming. So, you know, maybe this age won't recognize a couple of the songs, but you're going to have all these others that do. You know, right. So they got to, like, cater to everybody. You know, I mean, not just the fact that they're Kiss fans, you know, and that they want to play the popular songs that people are going to recognize. But, you know, you got to think, you got people going there that are 60, 70 years old, you know, that recognize a lot of the earlier stuff from Kiss that would love to hear some of that. Just as much as you have these newer, younger Kiss fans, you know, that are more familiar with the newer stuff that want to hear stuff off the new albums. You know?
Right.
And they don't get that either, though.
Yeah, where's the Sonic Boom song? Where's the Monster song?
Yeah, they got nothing.
You know, you got to be able to throw in something, you know. I mean, fuck, they're up there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's plenty of time for them to pick one or two songs from each album.
Yeah, but they don't do 2 hours. They're like 90 minutes tops.
But sure. Still, gives them enough time to still go from, okay, let's pick songs from the beginning to now. Even if they skip a couple albums, still hit key points from the time, you know, to reach, you know, the whole
everyone
general age, you know, hit everybody's genre of when they, or I should say their era, you know, of when they came in.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at the set list from the second night. So you had Detroit Rock City, Deuce, Shout It Out Loud, Creatures of the Night, War Machine, Flaming Youth, That's Cool.
Right.
Psycho Circus, Calling Dr. Love, Shock Me, Not Necessary, Strutter, Cold Gin, That's Pretty Cool, Lick It Up, The Bass Solo, I Love It Loud, Not Necessary. Although it's cool for Gene to have, I guess, you know, with the singing with the crowd. 100,000 Years, Love Gun, Black Diamond, Encore was Beth, The Star Spangled Banner, and Rock and Roll All Night, and then God Gave Rock and Roll to You was played, of course, taped afterwards. But there are songs on here. Man, look, when these people who don't know who the hell, they know Kiss, and they know the story of Kiss, they're not coming there to hear a ton of music. They're coming to see Gene spit blood, Gene breathe fire, Paul Stanley do his thing, and then whatever, you know, a few songs they know. They could care less about most of the music. They want to, every third song, they want to be able to go, oh, I know that song. You know, but, I mean, I never go to a concert as a Tire Kicker and totally and completely expect to know every song.
Right.
Right, right.
So for all the new fans, you would think that they would be really happy with every song because every single YouTube video they've been watching for the last 10 years is the same set list, more or less. But they don't, like, mark out for Deuce or, you know, any of the little bit more classic ones that are kind of staples, you know what I mean? Like, they don't go nuts for anything except Rock and Roll All Night and
Lick It Up.
Like you had said, you know, Paul flying, Gene flying, the blood, whatever, bombs and fire, you know? But it's like, if Kiss would play other songs, then any other song could become just as well known as Deuce because everyone sees it on YouTube all the time. Like all the newer fans, you know what I mean? I just think that whatever they play, they could play anything as long as they do basically Rock and Roll All Night, I think. Maybe Detroit Rock City.
You see, I was going to say, you know, on that note, you know, I was going to say, we do have to give them credit, though, that even on the last tour that they did when they came in with Def Leppard, you know, they did start changing it up a little bit, you know? Mm, I mean,
one song.
I mean, they even threw in Hide Your Heart, you know, and on that show. You know, the last couple concerts that I've gone to see them with you, Jody, we've never heard them play anything different, you know? Exactly. But this concert, they did, you know, they threw that in there, and that's one of my favorite songs. You know, so they are, I guess, slowly trying to see how it goes with throwing in other different songs. I just don't think they're completely convinced that it'll work, it's a good idea. And they should do it.
Yeah, but, like, you were there, and I'm sure anyone that saw that tour, when they did play Hide Your Heart, it was like a lull for most people. The people, you could tell the diehards, because those were the only people in the crowd going apeshit for Hide Your Heart. Like, you and I, and... like, I saw Lonnie and Clinton, you know, they were all going crazy over it. But generally speaking, the audience didn't know it.
Right, but it may open them up, you know, these other people that don't know those songs, to go back and buy the older albums.
Exactly.
You know, so that they can hear it, you know, and hear more of their stuff and widen their horizon on their you know, Kiss repertoire or whatever, you know.
I don't think they ever will. They're so set. Like, they, in their own minds, Paul and Gene think that they're giving people exactly what they want, but they're not.
No, not, I mean, and the thing about it is I would say, if you've got, let's say, 10,000 people at a show, right? If there's 10,000 people at the show, I have to believe that 7,000 of them are the more serious fan. Maybe not like us, but still the fan that's seen them one other time, two other times, you know? I can't imagine that it's the flip. I can't imagine that it's even half. 5,000 people. Now, look, I understand that some of that might be kids that, you know, like when I brought my own kid or whatever, you know, I understand that, but that's still a minority.
Right.
Most, you know, there's nobody going. I don't mean nobody, but I mean the percentage is small. Yeah. Of some guy sitting at home going, oh, you know what? Kiss is coming. I'm going to go. No. Small. It's a small percentage. You know, and I do believe that people are going for the first time. But
yeah, like you said, though, it's the younger kids.
Yeah. Right. You know, I just have to believe that if you walk around, man, you can just tell by the people. You know, the T-shirts, they're vintage or they're, even T-shirts from the last three tours, you know. You see those, then you understand. You know these people have been here before. They've seen the band before. They,
right,
you know,
or they're dressed up with the makeup and everything else.
Yeah, you know. Now, when Kiss played South Carolina, and me and my buddies drove there to go see it, it was an outdoor thing, and it was a good show. But when it was over, I remember getting in the car and going, "What'd you guys think?" And they all said the same thing. They were going, "Eh, it was Kiss," you know, and it was just like. It's just not, it's not that it's not good, it's just that it's becoming generic.
Well, if you're a Kiss freak, you've seen the same shit for 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
Basically since the reunion. And I do believe that the reunion, there were a shit ton of tire kickers, you know, that this was the big tour to go see. And the percentages was probably a little higher during the reunion. But that was 20 years ago, and like you said, today, I think that even the young kids, like... parents that bring their kids to see Kiss is because they're into Kiss, and that means they turn their kids on to Kiss. So I would think that these kids would know something besides Rock and Roll All Night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
I get they want to play Love Gun forever because it is a good song, and I'm fine with that, but everybody bitches about I Love It Loud. We don't need it. We don't need War Machine. I definitely don't need Lick It Up again, and especially with that fucking part in the middle. It's like 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much.
But, you know, here's the thing. I don't need Lick It Up. If they want to put it in there, I get it. It's for the people that don't know Kiss.
Yeah.
You can have, just like I said, Lick It Up, Rock and Roll All Night, Detroit Rock City even.
Heaven's on Fire.
Heaven's on Fire, Tears Are Falling. But one, every, like, you know, from Detroit Rock City, then two songs for the diehards, then a song for the tire kickers, then two songs for the, you know, how about this? Play some music that these tire kickers, quote, fingers in the air, don't know, so maybe they'll go, wow, that's really cool. I'm going to go and download that and listen to it because I liked it. Instead, they have the same 20 songs on their fucking iPhone or iPad, and that's all they think Kiss did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to widen these people's horizons.
Verizons.
With their look on Kiss. You know, it's like, you know, if they keep doing all these same songs over and over and over again, they're, you know, these people that are getting into Kiss or whatever now, they're going to think that's all they're about. You know, I mean, if they really want people to get Kiss and to understand Kiss, they need to play some of their older stuff too, so that people can kind of experience the history from how they were when they first started, when they were young and hungry, to how they are now. You know, that way that they can at least get the full picture of what Kiss is, what Kiss is about musically.
Sure, and I'll tell you something else. This is important for you people out there listening, because I want to make sure that we're clear on here. It's not that we're not grateful that they're still touring. It's not that at all. They don't have to tour. Eric Singer said it in his interview with Chris Jericho. He said, Gene and Paul don't need to do this. They do it because they love it. They don't need any extra money. They have enough for the rest of their lives and their kids' lives. And I get that, you know. Sure, that's great. It's not that we're ungrateful that they're touring and playing these songs. They'll come. I'll pay for the ticket, I'll go, and I'll watch it again. But my point is variety, man. You know, I think that they're overthinking what's really going on here. The tire kickers are going to leave a Kiss concert, I believe, happy no matter what. Even if they know out of 15 songs or 20 songs, if they know 8 or 10 of them,
right,
they're gonna be happy, and they're gonna walk away and they're gonna go, oh my god,
yeah,
Gene Simmons, man, you should have seen him, what he did. That's what they think about, man, those tire kickers.
Yeah, that's not the music, it's the show.
It's the show, you know.
It's frustrating as a diehard Kiss freak.
It is, because
we don't want to see the same show year after year after year. Yeah, after fucking year.
And I can't believe, and I'll never believe, that Gene doesn't care or Paul doesn't care, you know. But I would imagine that the majority of us that are diehard fans that are going to spend our, you know, I can't imagine that they're sitting at home going, oh man, those guys, they'll come out anyway regardless, just like I just said, you know. But it's like on the cruise, man, people bitched. I mean, I did a whole show about it. The dumbest question Doc McGee ever asked on that cruise was everybody happy with the set list? At all at the same time, everyone was like, fuck no. And he was like, what, you know? And the very next night, that very day when Kiss got on stage on the cruise, they played 4 or 5 alternate songs that weren't on the set list the night before. I remember being pissed off, man. I was like, good Lord, they could have done this last night. And then, you know, then the very next year, I don't go on the cruise, the fifth year, and that's when they did the electric show with all the deep cuts, you know. By the way, if you're listening, Paul and Gene, you really need to do Naked City for me. I picked that song.
Do you guys feel that it's a little bogus that only on the cruise do you get to hear all the shit we really want to hear?
Well, that's bullshit, too. That doesn't make any sense. Why do it just on the cruise? You know? And, but, you know, Paul is going, oh, well, you know, we play The Oath on the tour, on the cruise, because you're the only people that bought it. Man, that album has picked up in popularity. And I'm going to tell you why. Podcasts.
Totally.
We talk about the record. We talk about our love for the record. We get people to go out there and listen to it again and give it another shot now that they're older. And they listen to it now as older. As kids, we wanted a different thing. But as adults, when we listen to it, we go, wow, it's really good.
Right.
And that's why, and you know, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's all podcasts, of course, but podcasts started talking about the record, started saying, oh man, you know, everybody should own The Elder. It's really a great album, you know? And even, you know, it's just people. You can go online and write down how many people love The Elder, and tons of people get on online to start talking about it, you know?
Right. D-Rock does not love The Elder, by the way.
Well, that's okay, but it's, you know, but when you listen to it now as an adult compared to when you were a kid, you recognize the different, like, what they were trying to do. You get it, you know? Right. It's like Bob Ezrin said, it wasn't a great Kiss record, but it was a great record, you know? It's just not what fans wanted.
Exactly.
And, you know, talking about, like, the variety in the set list, you know, it's, I don't know what your two's take on this is, you know, but it's like, you know, when I think about, you know, how they should set up their set list, it's like I think about all their great songs that they have. I mean, that, you know, I just absolutely love on albums. And it's like, man, I would just love to hear them play this live, you know. Because, I mean, you could even take, like, a mediocre song, you know, that you hear on a CD. But then when you hear it live, you know, it just adds such a different aspect to it. And everything sounds great live. You know, and it's like, man, I would really love to see them rock this song out or this song out live. Just so I could see what it's like live. Totally. You know, and I think, you know, that would also still just give everybody else a deeper appreciation, you know, and you know, a different insight into them. Because, I mean, when you see things and hear things live, you actually are able to feel and to, like, get, you know, their emotion or their state of mind or their attitude, you know, in the song, towards the song, you know. And so it gives you a better understanding of the song, you know, and what its meaning is, you know, being able to see it live. And, you know, that's another reason why I agree with you guys too, you know, is you gotta mix it up.
You know what else? What's the purpose for putting Shock Me back in the damn set list? You know, nobody wants to hear Tommy do that song. And it's not just because Tommy is an ace, it's because he has a song, man. Let him do the song off of Sonic Boom, right? You know?
Yeah. I prefer Shock Me to that, even with Tommy singing it. I don't like the...
I know, but here's my thing. If there are kids in that crowd, man, that listen to that song, and Tommy is their spaceman. He does not need... We don't need to hear Shock Me done by Tommy. You know, replace it with something. Do Hotter Than Hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do Parasite. Do something off of Unmasked. Do, you know, you got all these records and you don't touch 80% of them. You know, 80% of them, they're just sitting around. You know, Paul, and I understand that Paul's, you know, voice right now, it's not really all that strong. But here's the thing. We discussed it on the radio the other day. There are other songs that Paul could sing, like we talked about, Is That You, off of Unmasked. That's not a song where he's got to sing all these falsetto parts or anything, you know? It's a song where he could sing with a deep voice, and it'll sound fine, you know? He doesn't have to strain it, you know?
As long as he stays in key, you know, who cares how high it is? As long as he's hitting the note.
Yeah, and you know, and now look, and in the part in the chorus, you know, you always get, man, Gene can sing that.
Yeah, or Eric.
And if you watch the Sydney show, yes, Paul sang on that, but also Gene, and you know, he sang the backups with the high falsetto parts. Let it happen. Try it at least. I cannot imagine it's going to be that bad.
Yeah, but then from their standpoint, nobody knows that song.
Maybe they've lost touch. You know, I hate to say that, but, you know, their fans are still the same, you know. I'm the kid, man, that was buying the stickers to, you know, to put on my notebook. I'm the kid that sat in my second grade class drawing Gene and Paul and Peter and Ace, you know.
Yeah, you're the kid who went to camp to get unmasked.
Yeah, I fucking went to camp just so I could get the fucking record. You know? That's the people you want to cater to, and I understand. once again, and I've said that 100 times, you want to, you know, keep growing your fan base and, you know, or whatever, you know, the new kids come along. Look, just like Jody said, if you're there with your kid knows hotter than hell. If you're there with your kid, you know, your kid knows, pick a song, man. You know?
I remember watching an interview one time, and I think Paul needs to get back into this frame of mind. But I remember watching a DVD that was one of their, like, documentary things, and Paul said, you know, if you love Kiss, that's great. If you hate Kiss, that's great, too. You know, there's no in between. You know, well, he should get back in that frame of mind where he doesn't care if you like him or love him or if you hate him. You know, do your thing. Do your show. If the people like it, that's great. If they don't, that's great, too. You know, don't worry so much about impressing people, because if they're going to like you, they're going to like you. If they're not, they're not. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, right. Just go out there, play a fucking awesome show. And who cares what people think? You know, you're doing it because you love to do it, and just do it.
Yeah, you know? Look, man, I'll tell you what. You could take out War Machine and throw in Eric Singer singing Hooligan, and I will love that.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Baby Driver or something.
Yeah, man, Eric can sing. Let him sing a few songs. No, I'm not a... Look. If it's Beth, I want to hear Peter sing it. It's not a Catman song. It's a Peter song, plain and simple. Right. You know, and Shock Me, I understand that, you know, Jody, you know, I feel the same way. I love Shock Me more. But, you know, what you're doing is alienating fans that are the fans that are like, Ace is the spaceman, Peter is, you know... When you put those songs in there, you know, I remember being at the Sonic Boom show and seeing people in the crowd when Tommy was singing Shock Me turn their backs to him.
Damn.
You know? Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I was like, damn, you know, that's pretty harsh, you know, but
yeah, that's cold.
See, I wouldn't even think that someone that has that opinion about Tommy and Eric would even be at the damn show, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
Well, you know, the thing was is that they were at the show, and then I think it was the first time, that might have been the first time that tour that they did Shock Me. Am I right? I think so.
Right. I think, you know, it was only like partial, that, too.
Yeah, and as soon as that song came on, it was a mix between Out of This World, right, and Shock Me, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, people were, so once again, I'm not, it's not that, you know, maybe they're sitting at home going, you know, Joe, if you feel this way, stay home. Somebody else will buy a ticket. I can't believe that. I can't believe that they would think, you know, and all we're doing is we're saying, you know, throw us, you're throwing the bones to the people that aren't going to go out there and buy that Las Vegas video when it comes out next month.
Right. But do you guys feel that maybe the set list has become whittled down so much because they don't play as long as they used to? I just looked up the reunion set list from the show that I was at, the first one, and there's 24 songs versus what's on the new one, 16?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they don't even have as much room to choose, because I was just looking down the set list and... pretty much everything on here is they're still doing today, but they've dropped a lot of really key killer ones, you know. Because do you remember that? I remember leaving the reunion going, man, that was the greatest Kiss set list I've ever seen. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's pretty much the same songs as they are doing now, except for like War Machine and I Love It Loud and Lick It Up, you know. But you also had Rock Bottom, I Want You, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of other cool ones as well. Watching You...
I mean, so many of these songs could be replaced. They have, you know, look, they threw Flamin' Youth in there. It's like, that's a deep-ass cut, man.
Right.
You know, how about Tomorrow Night, throw in, you know, Come On and Love Me. How about The Night After, you know, throw in Parasite.
Right.
Look, if the set list went like this, Detroit Rock City, Deuce, Parasite, Creatures of the Night, Come On and Love Me, Flaming Youth, yeah. Psycho Circus, Calling Dr. Love, Something Instead of Shock Me, Baby Driver, no, Hooligan, that's a good one.
Mainline, Strutter, anything.
Huh? Yeah. Anything. Look, you still have, all I did was replace crap that, look, even the Tire Kickers do not know Deuce. They know Detroit Rock City. They know Shout It Out Loud. They probably don't know War Machine. They probably don't know Creatures of the Night. Psycho Circus, maybe Dr. Love because of a damn Dr. Pepper commercial. Shock Me, you know, Strutter, they probably don't know. Cold Gin, they probably don't know. Lick It Up, they probably know. I Love It Loud just because it's probably played at some football game they go to. 100,000 Years, they don't know. Love Gun, they probably know. Black Diamond, doubtful. Beth, everybody knows. The Star Spangled Banner, not necessary. Look, and it's cool to be patriotic and everything because that's the Freedom to Rock tour and all that stuff, but every night?
Yeah, I could not believe that when I watched the Boise when they had them doing the freaking Pledge of Allegiance again. I mean, it made sense on the 4th of July, sure. But
we did that. They did that too when on the Sonic Boom tour.
Really?
The Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, in Atlanta.
Wow.
I just
okay. So what if you're you know in town from the UK to see that show? You don't want to fucking do the Pledge of Allegiance to America. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be unpatriotic, but that is so fucking corny, dude. They need to drop that immediately.
I mean, I'm like you. Yeah. I mean, I understand doing it on the 4th of July or whatever. You know, that's all great. You know, but if in all your other shows, you know, if you want to be patriotic, you know, make a shout out to the troops or whatever, you know, and the veterans. Hey, that's all great. I'm all for that. You know, but like Jody said, you know, if you're going to do the Star Spangled Banner, you know, or the National Anthem.
The Pledge of Allegiance, though, takes it way over the top.
You know, and you're going to do it on the 4th of July. More power to you. That's awesome. I get it. But yeah, like Jody said, you don't have to do it, you know, 2 days later at your next show. And then
I think they're going
to
do it every night.
So, you know, you want to do it on that holiday, do it on that holiday. It doesn't have to be a whole key part of the rest of the tour.
Yeah. You know, bring the troops out.
And do All American Man. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, do All American Man. Look, that is an amazing pride to be proud to be an American. Right. You know.
They could do that and Rock It in the USA and skip the Star Spangled Banner and the freaking Pledge of Allegiance. It's not grade school, man, you know?
Yeah.
I'm hating it. I hate that they do that. It's so. Just grandstanding America bullshit. You know what I mean? It's just terrible.
And you guys out there listening know, we're very positive KISS podcast. We don't knock the fans. We don't knock the band. And we're really not knocking them now. We're trying to help more than anything. Yeah, we're not
insulting them. We're just trying to give constructive criticism.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Jody right now, and maybe in D-Rock, they out of the three of us, they have the best chance of going to a show. It's going to be in Springfield, right?
I'm not going.
Yeah.
You're not going?
I am not.
Simply because of the set list.
That fairground is going to be so packed. There's this person trying to park at one of the amphitheaters to go see a concert.
It's not so much it is the set list, but I think for me it's more of it's the set list combined with the simple fact that the stage hasn't changed since 96. And it's this particular stage. It's just boring, man. You don't even have a spider. You know what I mean?
Right. Now I can tell you that I did notice from one of the videos now, and this was kind of cool because I've never seen it before, except in the Vegas thing. And that's what it looked like. The screens went up and over the top of the stage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that, and that was really cool. And I did see that they have the risers, you know, in the front of the stage because while they were playing the national anthem, they all rose up, you know?
Yeah.
And but still,
it's pretty stock, dude.
Yeah, for me, you know, if you want me to drive 2 hours to come and see you, I want you. How about that?
Yeah.
There's a song you can throw in there.
And I Stole Your Love, and, you know, here's what I don't get, okay? Two things I don't get about Kiss. Okay, number one, pretty much their biggest albums are Alive and Alive 2, wouldn't you say? I mean, yeah. Those are the ones that everybody had. So why not, you know, pull a shit ton of songs from those records? I mean, they're missing out on so many great songs that they could be playing. It's like they don't realize that anyone, I would, this is a sweeping statement, but I would say that anyone on the fucking planet would rather hear I Stole Your Love live than War Machine, Lick It Up, I Love It Loud, what have you.
Right, right.
You'd think that them knowing that those were their big, big sellers in the day, that they would pull a lot more cuts from those. I would if I were them. But the other thing, we kind of talked about it on the radio show the other day, is like, think about all the, like, you can turn on a video from the 70s, and just by looking at the stage, you know what era it is, right? Well, yeah. It's like, for the last 10 years, any Kiss footage look exactly the same. Same outfits, same basic stage setup. The screens may be over the amps or not, but, I mean, it's still the same fucking show. Same song, same stage. And at this point, I'm almost in that Kiss burnout phase again, Joe.
Yeah, we did a show on that.
I'm not burnt out on Kiss. I love Kiss, but you know, someone like me that's not going to go see them on this tour, and you know, I will say that if they were coming to St. Louis, we would be going. You know, but like driving 2 hours to see the same thing I just saw with Def Leppard, like whenever that was, what was that, 2015, last year?
I can't remember. It was the July before.
Either way.
Oh, was it 14?
Either way, yeah. I mean, to a diehard like me to not even be excited enough to go 2 hours away, there's something wrong there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because 2 hours ain't shit to a Kiss fan.
Exactly. Right. It takes me an hour to get to work.
I mean, it's like, I know right where it's at, and I know a lot of people in Springfield, you know, but, you know, still, I'm not going to go to wheel my happy ass in a wheelchair fucking 8 blocks. You know, to go see them in a little bitty state fair building, you know?
Right.
Right. But if they were touring right now, playing half the songs off of Alive and half the songs off of Alive 2, you might think about it.
And if they had a cool new stage. Jack
and Jody up and being like, you know, hey, let's go.
You know, the stage for the Rock the Nation tour, that was the one with all the TV screens and everything all over, right?
I think that's all the stages since 96. But yeah,
well, I know what you're saying. I really liked that stage. And then
I don't know.
They did, you know, they did the thing where they rose up and over the drum riser, and then when I on the I mean, but still it's not anything, you know. It's like Ken Mills seems to believe that what we see is what we get now. It's now been boxed and wrapped, and a little bow has been put on top, and this is what you're going to get from this day forward. This is a Kiss show. But, you know, it's like, man, you go see Bruce Springsteen, you know, he's as old as those guys are, and he plays for 3 hours, you know? He plays a full record.
Yeah, but he just stands there, doesn't he? I mean, it's not as intensive as putting on the gear and the makeup and all that shit. But you're totally right. There's a bunch of bands, like a band like Pearl Jam, you know, they play a different set list every night. They just, you know, they get together and say, what do you guys want to play tonight? And it keeps it fresh for the fans and for the band, you know?
Yeah, and they never know what they're going to get.
And it's based on the mood of the night. And, you know, Kiss could, I mean, why can't they have a whole, you know, 40, 50, 60 songs worked up? I mean, they've only, you know, known these songs for 40 years, you know? Let's, like, have them ready.
Yeah.
And then you decide the day of, and you run through them at soundcheck. It's not that complicated, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like any of those songs are that hard to play. I could see Gene maybe forgetting lyrics, but who cares? He always forgets lyrics.
they have teleprompters in the front of that stage. I saw them
on the
Vegas thing, you know? And that's fine. Everybody has that now. It's because when you're on stage, all kinds of shit's going on. You can easily forget where you're going. I'm not knocking the teleprompter,
man.
I totally understand that. But at the same time, it's just like, come on. you know, throw us a bone, you know, and like you guys were saying, you know, recently, not just on the cruise, you know?
Yeah, I find that to be a little bit elitist.
The only play, it's, you know, I don't want to have to get on the cruise in order to hear songs I want to hear.
Right.
You know? And when they, you know, I don't know. I guess we've talked this to death, and everybody out there gets it. But
yeah, it's the same old. This conversation's been going on for years. It's never going to change.
Why don't we do this? You guys out there listening, send us. How about this? So the set list is what, 16 songs. Send us a 20 song set list of songs. Now here's the thing. You gotta make sure there's songs for both Tire Kickers and the Die Hard. I want to see what your set list consists of. Jody, you make one. D-Rock, I'll make one. We'll all make one together. What do you think? Next week, we'll read them out?
Sounds good.
Sure.
Yeah, sounds good. And then we'll read yours out there, too. You send one in, I'll try to slip it into the show. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. We'll do our, you know, what you send it in, and I'm going to read it on the thing. I'm going to, especially if you got some crazy shit in there. But be realistic, okay? Something, you know, Paul Stanley doing Move On, although it would be awesome, you know, probably ain't going to happen. But if that's what you think that they should play, you put it in there.
Yeah.
I don't see why
we're
not.
We're going to get a bunch of requests for the full Elder and, like,
yeah,
and so, Crazy Nights.
Set list should exclude the solo album stuff, only Kiss stuff, you know.
Maybe right. It should exclude the ones that are on there now, so you can't have Rock and Roll Night in Detroit Rock City. And but I mean, you have to have some of those. You gotta have those songs at a Kiss show, I think.
Right.
Even though those are the ones they've played to death, I gotta have Rock and Roll Night. Even I got to. I can't go to a Kiss show without it.
But we've also talked about, me and you and Dustin one night talked about Tomorrow and Tonight, right?
They should have been playing that all along.
That's a great song. You know, that's a song that, you know, if one night they didn't play Rock and Roll All Night but closed the show out with Tomorrow and Tonight, you know, that's the problem. For the average fan, not the diehard, but the average fan has got to hear Rock and Roll All Night. I don't have to. I've heard it 100 times.
Would you leave there feeling complete without that song? Because I know I wouldn't. It's just such...
I don't know.
You got to have it.
Yeah, but, you know, but still, right before that, throw in Tomorrow and Tonight or Let Me Go, you know? And
I think the problem is they're just getting to an age where they can't play a 3-hour show, and if they could, we'd probably get all the songs we wanted, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Who knows? It's weird that if you look at the 80s sets, they dropped mostly all the makeup ones, and then they played stuff like Fits Like a Glove for like 10 years. You know, you'd think that they might want to bring that back again just once in a while, you know? I never understood the way they write their set list.
Yeah, and let Eric Singer sing it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So that's what you guys got to do, set list. For you guys out there listening, I need do us a favor and go to iTunes and leave us a review. Starting this week, everybody that goes to iTunes and leaves a review on Sunday when we go to do our show, I'm going to read all of our reviews on the next show, starting with the first one, and we're going to catch up. So if you're listening right now and you're on iTunes, go to iTunes and leave us a review, man. We really need those in order to help us get in the hierarchy of the iTunes. And if anybody out there can figure out how to get us on Google Play, I'm sorry, Jody, I'm still working on that. It's actually a lot harder than we thought.
Really? You don't the feed or what?
No, there's got to be certain tags and shit, and we just can't figure it out. And nobody I know nobody I know personally has been able to get on there yet. So
wow, well, we're doing all right where we're at. We're pretty much everywhere else. Google us, and we're on like shit tons of different sites. So you got to be able to find us.
Yeah, and don't forget that on Sundays at 12, we're on Panther957.com, and they're playing shows on Thursdays at 12 o'clock. Jody and I are on, and that's live, akaradio.com.
Yes, sir.
And we're there for your lunch, man, 2 hours. And the coolest thing about that, besides Jody, is the fact that we get to play music.
Yeah, we play whatever we want. It's pretty awesome.
Whatever we want, man. So you want some deep cuts.
Yeah, tune in. AKA Radio's Podcast Rock City Live.
Yeah. Hell, we played some Vinnie Vincent the other day. That was a 10-minute long guitar solo in that bitch.
Yeah, he was noodling off at the end. What was that, Animal, I think?
Animal, yeah. I can even hear him go... It's like...
With his weird picking hand, all angular.
Yeah, with his pinky out, yeah. You know, like he's drinking tea. That's fucked up because that's how I pick, too.
Do you?
So, yeah.
I have like a fist like Ace almost. It's kind of
odd. Really?
Yeah, I never noticed it, but I was...
Yeah, I have like more of the George Lynch style.
Right on.
Open hand.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show for the week. I want to thank D-Rock for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Mr. Jody, do you have anything to add?
I'd add what I always add, man. You know, thanks for listening. Make sure you check us out on Thursdays, aka Radio Live, at noon Eastern. Catch the replay on Panther Radio on Sundays at noon. And, you know, stay with us. We got a lot of stuff coming your way. And thanks for listening so much.
Absolutely. D-Rock, you got anything to add?
I enjoyed being on the show, and I hope everybody enjoyed listening to our comments.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys very much for being here with me today. And thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it. And we love KISS podcasts. And you can always hear the shows just like we do, because we play their commercials at the end of our show. And you're going to hear them in 3, 2, 1.
Peace. You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
KISS!
It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, KISS Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podkissed. Every month, the podkissed crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to podkissed.
The podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
KISS Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Greetings from Jandel, KISS Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited.
Right.
Tune in and hang out with your KISS Army bros, where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder.
Yes.
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Sitting around with time to kill. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan, with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me, and as far as I'm concerned.